Hello and welcome to this special edition pre-end of tax year buzz and banter purse financial planning bulletin board podcast coming at you live from Joondalup Studios. It's me, Simon Burke. We have my co-host,
Tim McCallum, here from Capstone Financial Planning.
And our drum roll this week is a very, very special person. I'm very excited about basically introducing him. I'm going to hand this over to Tim. Tim is going to do the drum roll. Who have we got in the room, Tim?
Well, we've spoken about this guy a couple of times. He's had some mentions on this podcast already, but we got him live in the studio, and it's a fantastic sight. But it is Paul Stojanovic. It's interesting that in the warm-up for this, Simon was going to introduce him, but wasn't too confident by the sounds of things that he could get.
No,
many people know him as the Stodge.
The Stodge, the big man.
To refer to him as Paul Stojanovic.
Hey, you fucking fucker. There's the Slav coming out.
Oh,
right.
Very good.
Okay.
So welcome, Stodge. Welcome back to Perth, of course. You've spent a lot of time of your life here, but now living on the East Coast. What brings you back, and what are you doing with yourself now?
Well, we just had Mother's Day, so definitely came back to celebrate that. Catch up with all the old and bold that I've known for many, many years. And daughter has turned 30, which many of us are surprised by. And the other upside to that, yeah, some quality time with the grandchildren.
Oh, fantastic. And how many has Jasmine?
Three.
Three kids now. Yep. So, yeah, Jasmine, of course, has been worked for you for a period of time. And I remember one day she came along on the table to America's Cup, I was going to say, to the Melbourne Cup.
Yep.
With the Perpetual Table. So that was great. So yep. It's good to
She worked at with Dan Stevens at Approved as well.
Oh, very good.
So she's had she's been around a little bit.
Fantastic.
Having coffee with Dan tomorrow.
Oh, excellent.
There you go. Dan is back in profit after a horrendous time from his time at AMP and losing grandfathered revenue, etc. But Dan is back on form. I had a great conversation with him and said, look, you know, it's great to see you coming back into profit and the business starting to build again. But unfortunately, you go grey. And you stay grey. So he's going to be known as Grey Dan.
Well, it's a classic, you know, I suppose, you know, second generation business there, having taken out his father-in-law, I think it is, in David Ryan, and I think Rexy Gray's business has been in there. So some big AMP names through that. But and speaking of,
they've got a big celebration coming up. I think it's the 20 or 30 year anniversary
of that business
in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah, I reckon it'd be at least that, because Approved back in its day, there was Dick Wade and Neil Hancock and quite a number of the old and bold, and I reckon that was started up in late 80s, early 90s, so it might even be longer through that period. Yeah, so, yeah, it's very good.
Maybe Dan's just been holding out on how long he's been working there.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
because he's looking really old now too.
So I'm looking forward to getting to know Stodgy better. Later on, we've got some stories. Apparently, Stodgy's going to give us his safety word and the reason behind that.
Oh, very good.
And also, he's going to chuck a few people under the bus after conversations we had yesterday, which is sounding quite good. And a strange smell in a car or something like that. Oh. But we'll get onto that.
There's already stories that are floating around. So.
But so it's how's the week?
Well, for me, I've been in the wars a bit. I've just done the skin cancer face treatment, so many people have done that over their lifetime, but with my red hair and freckles growing up and sailing as my chosen sport, I finally bit the bullet and had to do the, it's a thing called Tolac, or some people have previously used Effidex, so a cream that goes on my face. So I looked like the kids weren't sure whether they were calling me Darth Mole or Freddy Krueger. But, and the word that was used before was brutal. So it ended up like that. So, and of course, you're very sun sensitive while going through that treatment. So I've been licking my wounds. I've had to apologise to a couple of people that I've had face to face meetings with, and pre-warn them about how I looked. But we managed to get through that. It actually got to the stage. I was on a Teams meeting last week, and my picture on the session actually started to close and shake and then disappeared. So my face was that bad that the driver, camera driver on my laptop disappeared, could not be found, had to be reloaded by the techos. So, yeah, but hopefully getting back on track to my beautiful self now.
And I know, due to you having a face for radio at the moment, Tim, you missed out on poor old Albert's funeral.
Yeah, we touched on Albert Nalini in the last podcast, and he obviously had a heart attack, as we spoke about late last year. His business partner, Gary Addison, was keeping us up to date with how he's going. He'd been in ICU for a long time. He'd come out, but unfortunately, my understanding is that he got an infection that he just couldn't physically fight, and sadly passed away. And unfortunately, I wasn't able to get to the funeral last week because of my treatment. But I know, Simon, that you went along.
Yeah, and funerals are always a very sad occasion, but it was, the tears were flowing, but it was a real good celebration of a really good guy. I just want to thank all of Albert's family for basically the grace and the gesture to support us all as well as we could support them through this difficult time. Going back, meeting everybody, hearing the stories about Albert, Gary Addison walking round and saying, you know, are you coming back to the wake? And squeezing my hand twice as hard and saying, because you know Albert would want you there. And it was a really lovely event to really just honour one of the greatest guys in the industry. So a big thank you to the family for that.
I was fortunate enough to be able to work with both Gary and Albert. When I first started in the industry, Gary and I started at the same place on the same day. And do recall sitting up above Coco's, and we'd sort of look at all the who's who walking in with plunging necklines. And then where that sort of evolved is then Albert joined the team, and we then moved to West Perth, and that's where I got to work with him quite closely. Albert used to come in every day and rub my belly for luck, and you know, it's see what happens when you stop rubbing.
Yeah.
But the good thing, you know, I've been able to keep in contact with those guys for so long, and you know, through the various iterations of their industry, but just seeing how the two of them, you know, built a business and worked so closely together, it was, you know, it's lovely to see. So
yeah.
And it's a big shout out to Gary because of everything that he's done. He kept me up to date and a lot of other people as well through the channel on the East Coast. And Albert was very well respected from that side. Probably one of the funniest stories I can tell about Albert was he had a brand new blue Holden Commodore. And I think it was one of the upmarket ones. This is at the time around the VT Commodores. And his kids washed it for him with a scouring pad. And so he had wonderful foot swells on his car, but yeah, he saw the good side of it. So.
All best intentions.
Great man. What else has been going on, Tim?
What else has been going on? Well, in the world of Capstone, we've appointed a couple of new practices have joined us. So across to the group, I'd welcome in Phil Connersteed, whose business New Horizon Wealth has moved across. Phil's got experience at ANZ. He had some time at Macquarie and been running his own business. He's been in the industry for 25 years, so he's joined Capstone Financial Planning. He's got a existing referral relationship with the Law Society, which is fantastic. So he's starting to get into and doing some work in that area. So that's certainly given him plenty to do. And then the brand new business in the WA market is Courtney Moores has established Mosaic Wealth. Now, Courtney was at Financial Framework and has gone out on his own with some changes that were going on at Framework, has gone out on his own and established his own business and taken some of his clients or brought some of his clients with him. And it's you know, one of those situations where, you know, often advisors want to give it a go and make their own name, and Courtney's certainly done that. So he's joined Capstone as well. So it's been busy in that regard, but, yeah, been very good. What about in the world of Simon Burke recruitment?
The Victorians are moving in. So many people moving over from Victoria looking for a new role in WA. So we've got the talent are moving. I don't know if another COVID's coming or something like that, and they know something that we don't know. But, yeah, Perth seems to be very, very attractive at the moment as far as a city to come and live in.
Well, and also I think it's a reflection upon how Victoria is going. You know, I've a couple of mates that I speak to that live in Melbourne say Victoria as a state is in a world of trouble, not only financially from a government point of view, but just the overall feeling about the place is pretty tough at the moment. Some of that reflected, I think, still from being locked away for so long as they were in the COVID era, but... Yeah, Dan Andrews hasn't made any friends over there, and I know there's been some interesting stories about Dan Andrews trying to join golf clubs and all sorts of things of the revolt that's been against him. So, but yeah, it's
he might be looking for a job soon, Simon.
Mate, if he's a financial planner with a book, he'll get one. that seems to be the trend at the moment. If you've got a planner with a book. Can we have a chat with them? So I think a lot of people are starting to grow, and I think with that, there's a lot of acquisitions taking place. So there's so much happening in the market. I'm getting good candidates coming through now. So the candidate bank is there, and the jobs are there, and it's really just sort of the matchmaking now. So you know, and I've got sort of. I'll drop a few names like Julie Matheson, Belinda Good. I've got some guys over in Sydney, etc. The referrals of people actually using my name now as the go-to place for financial services recruitment has been absolutely fantastic. So people are starting to realise I am ethical and I do the right thing. And, you know, and I think it is. It's all about my brand. It's all about doing the right thing. We're trying to introduce some new stuff at the moment. Guides on basically the interview process and attraction. We're bringing user guides into basically inductory guides into Xplan. So all of this stuff will be on the website, and we're developing apps to do that. So if you've got a new recruit that is quite green, we can say, would you like our training tool for the introduction to our Xplan, et cetera, just to support the industry to try and bring more people in. But, yeah, it's...
I did have one referral from you once when I was running my own practice, and that person did rub my leg under the table. Was that part of your training, Simon?
What person was that I referred?
I won't say names.
It might have been due to the language barrier with Simon. That, but right, once he gets through that, he does pretty well.
You're putting me on the spot here, but yeah. I didn't think people like Leon Jennings would rub your leg under the table.
No, not but today.
But in the greater market, there's been a bit of movement within the BDM and the corporate world. You know, one of the big ones was that Glenn Mesh has finished up at Shadforth Financial Group. So Glenn at the age of 61 going on 62 is looking for his next opportunity, but he's fit as a bull and keen to work, and a fantastic experience across running private wealth networks to platform involvement. He was a hands-on, had his own business up in Broome. So, yeah, well-experienced guy. So Glenn's looking for his next opportunity. Di Goss, I just had a chat with Di on the way here. So the announcement came out from MetLife that Di's taken a new role within MetLife. So she's going to be the new senior manager retail digital marketing. So it's a totally new experience for Di, but the challenge at this stage of her career that, yeah, she's just jumping out of her skin. So MetLife will be looking probably internally initially for a state manager for WA. So there's a bit happening there. And then I think Simon Burt Recruitment's been helping out at WealthWise, Simon.
Yeah, we've put Liz Farrell into WealthWise, and we've seen the lovely Robin, basically being
Robin Moyer.
Yeah, yep. So her announcements came out as basically heading up that business and driving it forward. That's an incredible business at the moment. The amount of growth that's happening in that business is fantastic.
I think that's across the board with a lot of financial planning businesses. You know, yeah. Everyone I talk to is just so busy, especially this time of year with leading into June 30, end of the financial year. So, you know, and the opportunities that there is to get money into superannuation now being a lot more generous than they have been. So, yeah, if you're not busy, then you need to get some help pretty quickly.
Anyway, before we move on to Studgy, the round ball game and the egg shaped ball game thing.
Well,
the Eagles nearly won. We nearly got a win.
We nearly
got a win
because they're down 9. 9, aren't they?
Footy. They actually played a good game of footy. So that's what I was impressed. They've been playing terrible football, but they played well, I thought, against Richmond.
And there was a lot of people up and about, as you are, seem to be, Simon, with the fact of West Coast nearly at 18th, nearly beating the team that's sitting 17th. So it would have been a monumental win.
But young lads, they're doing well.
But it's, you know, I watched a bit of that game and especially with young Tom Gross, who's copped a lot of flack for that last piece of play where he took a bounce and got tackled and they were a chance to kick a goal and win the game. But this young 18-year-old kid had been subbed for a lot of it. There was a lot of other instances where senior members of the Eagles made mistakes, but that all seems to get washed away with the fact of one incident at the end. You know, Tyler Brockman had a kick reversed against him because he pushed a guy and was stupid out on the half forward, resulting in a free kick. And then you had Waterman kicked, I think, 1-3. But, you know, this poor young kid has been copped a lot of flack on social media. But from what I saw of the game, he was fast. He took them on. And you want people out there within the West Coast Eagles to have a go. Yeah, probably, you know, what they should do is watch the Mighty Hawks last quarter against the Demons.
Here we go, Mighty Hawks.
And see how it's done, because I think that's what Sam Mitchell said to our boys at three-quarter time, is you're playing pretty boring footy and then they turn it around and kick 6-0. So
when you phone people up and that picture appears.
My picture?
Your picture appears. That's not a Hogwarts scarf then.
No. That's the Scarborough Football Club Onshore Cup jacket. So we have our golf tournament every year at Dunsborough and the winner gets to wear that magnificent jacket with the Scarborough green body, yellow arms and black arms and then the yellow lapels. It's magnificent.
How long do you have to wear it for?
You can wear it for as long as you like. So
nice. There's a couple of us that have been talking about doing the Nullarbor links, but you have to wear the jacket for the whole time.
That might be a bit tough across there. Yes.
Well, on the round ball game, we've got the FA Cup final this weekend with Man City versus Crystal Palace. And then it's just a big fight for the top five. So the top five in the EPL, the English Premier League, as we call it, go through to the Champions League, which means that all the fans are behind them because they get to leave their misses and go to Europe for all these little weekends away.
That's dangerous.
So that's where all of this.
What about
this
my
big
mate
push
Ange?
Comes.
How's he going with the Lilywhites, the Spurs?
Oh, mate, Ange is in a bad place, I think. I think Ange
He's
might
getting
be...
a few players back, though, isn't he?
I don't know. I think he's probably going to end up at Perth Glory in the next in the next 18 months.
As if things weren't bad enough for him.
To be honest with you, I could see him returning.
Yes. He might come and take over the Perth Bears that that we're now contributing towards a rugby league team in Dubai. Let's move on from sport, I think, Simon.
Get to know Studge.
Yeah.
Well, actually, no, there is one. It's a good opportunity for you to reignite your career as Simon the Pieman, isn't it?
We'll come back to that.
No, you sure?
Let's hold that for a minute, Studge. We'll bring that up.
Throw me under. A note
and we'll make sure we're in. But we have with us, as we said at the start, Paul Stojanovic, who is the Director of Wholesale and Private Wealth Distribution with Associate Global Partners, which is a name that some people may not know a lot about at this stage in the WA market, Stodge. Can you just tell us a little bit about Associate Global Partners and the suite of funds that you have and how it's all working?
Yeah, sure. So a lot of people would have heard of the Switzer family and the Switzer. Yep. So really it's a spin out from there under Contango. And then there was an opportunity to move away from product manufacturing to distribution. So we just purely do third-party distribution. In our suite, we have WCM, which is a quality global growth fund. We've got a whole range of reiterations of that, so listed and unlisted. We have a WCM small cap, which is ex-US. So if you're a fan of what's going on in the US, there's a good opportunity for you to pick up some opportunity there. Vertium Equity Income Fund, which is run by Jason Tay, who's spun out of the IML, and he also looks after the Switzer ETF. Very similar in the strategy, but it's all around that income, so ideal for the retirees. And what a lot of people are not aware, we have a US micro fund, which is run by THB, and that's starting to get a little bit more attention, given everything that Donald Trump's doing in regards to tax cuts, et cetera, et cetera, the benefit for some of those micro businesses. So it's quite interesting, and especially coming out of CFS and what the opportunities were there, moving into a small business, it's very much focused on growth. So we've got a division of the business that focuses on the direct as well as the listed side of things. And then we have the opportunity around the retail, which is where myself and my peers are looking to build and grow.
And within that, you've got, obviously, the wholesale series of managed funds, and as you said, some listed.
Yep.
So that's active ETFs that they're running.
Yep.
What about in that managed?
And an LIC as well.
And an LIC, yep. And what about in that managed account space? Is that something that you've moved into with pricing for asset consultants to use?
The WCM strategy, the quality global growth, it's 125 basis points with a performance fee. And then what we've done in the managed account space is bought the same strategy in at 79 basis points with no performance fee.
Okay.
It's interesting when people do take it on. The opportunity now is getting it into platform. So one of the large groups in New South Wales is basically our first investor, but we do have quite a few that are now going through the review process.
And the saturation of platforms, is that one of the – is everything available on most of your major ones, and you've got ratings and all those sort of areas?
And the ability to give people are going to make an allocation or inclusion, and it's outside the managed account class. We're happy to provide rebate solutions because, as many of us know, there's a lot of fee sensitivity for not only for the businesses but also importantly for their clients. So there's some value there.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. And where are you living in Sydney? And how's the life in the big career city over there?
It's put it this way. I think one of the things I love about coming back to Perth is that you do get sort of assisted in pulling your head in. I remember one of my first trips, I thought I was a big swinging dick, and I think everybody sort of went, well, no, you can take the big swinging around for it. This is how you're behaving. So the good thing is, for me, it's I'm leaving Neutral Bay, so it's nice and easy to get into the city. Yep. I can throw boards on the car, I can go surf Manly, or I can head further south. So I'm not sort of limited. I think COVID was probably a good thing because Sydney was very insular in people were highly transactional, but I think there's now an opportunity to build some really good, deep relationships. And so when I say it was a good thing, it was about, you know, that interaction with people. Yep. I think, you know, Perth, whilst, you know, a lot of people say it's quite small, we're starting to see some of the larger groups now make some inroads here and take up some opportunities. So it's interesting when you talk about, you know, the acquisition side, but also, you know, succession, I think, is also one of the other things that we're seeing more and more, that people are looking at Perth because of the growth opportunities. And there's a fair amount of stability here with the Perth industry.
Yep. And importantly, with you being over here, because I think with taking into account the Mother's Day and everything you've had, you've been here for a few days. Who's looking after Brutus, the Chihuahua?
Yep. So Brutus El Mucho is being looked after by my partner, Danielle. So a lot of people are aware that she would possibly be batting above her average. When I show them photos, they look at me and laugh. And I think that whole don't be a dick thing comes out again. So he's getting spoilt rotten. He's probably, rhetorically speaking, has spent more time in her bed than I have.
Right, okay.
So happy he's days. Fortunate. Well, for someone, it's happy days. So
no, I'm not going to. I spent an evening with Studge, with Albert actually, back just before Melbourne Cup, I think that was.
Yep.
An evening with Studge is very, very entertaining, and there's lots of stories to be told. I've known you from the first time you bought me an ice cream when I first came out to see you when you had your little office in Stirling Highway and it was next door to an ice cream shop. And you said, would you like an ice cream, little boy? And we seem to connect, but out of all the stories, what's the story? What's the one, Studgy, that you haven't told that you want to get off your chest?
About the industry, about Paul,
no,
about who
you,
I am.
About Paul Studge. Get to know Paul Studge.
I think.
What's the story? What's the one? Drum roll at this time, please.
All right. I you alluded to it earlier about my safety word. I do think I'm a gun surfer, and was surfing locally. It was, I don't know, maybe about 1 or 2 foot. And at Madam's Pool, took off and got sucked and slammed in the water. It's not that funny. I see what you mean. And, hit a section of reef, got badly winded, paddled back out the back and thought, I'll be okay. 10 minutes later, sort of took off on another wave, was riding in and tried to do a turn and it was shooting pain up my back, and I stepped off onto the beach. I rode the board in and my right leg gave out from under me. It was in August, so it was winter. Got up to the car, wetsuit off, just threw the board in the car, drove home. And fortunately for me, I'd lived close to Charlie Gardner. So my now ex-wife, Sharon, she basically took me to the hospital and dropped me about 50 metres from the emergency door so I could walk. Got in there. Triage, they put me on, neck brace, keep me still. Anyway, long story short, they said, well, okay, they got me in a gown, x-rays, and they said, we're going to have to give you a suppository, and this tablet was massive.
Oh, we're getting interested now. Here we go.
Yeah, so I just had to set the scene. The nurse has looped up his finger with a glove and everything, got this massive tablet on there, goes to push it up the freckle, and I've yelled out, stop, stop, stop. And Sharon's sitting across looking at me, shaking her head, and the nurse leans over and I've just said, my safety word is pineapple. And so as he's pushed this massive...
Paul Studge's safety word is pineapple, everybody.
So as he's pushed up this this massive tablet up the freckle, I've screamed out pineapple, much to the joy of the next few days in hospital. All the nurses got to ask me, am I using my safety word? And they had stuck me on a cancer ward, so they did find it rather funny every time you hear someone yelling out pineapple on a cancer ward in Charlie's. So, and it's evolved. So I worked for a firm, or worked for CFS in Sydney. We had a pineapple award, and it was generally speaking, when someone did the biggest stuff up, they got a pineapple award.
Stuff up.
Yeah. So there were some classics. I did win it. My predecessor, or my boss, had also won it as well because he fell asleep in an airport and missed his flight. So.
Okay.
It's amazing within the corporate world the different awards that they give out for different things that happens. I remember at AXA days across the product BDMs, there was the Rutsy Award, which was for performances outside and late at night at conferences and, some of the stories like that we can't go into these days. But I know that Gary Davis, who is now at BT, was one memorable winner of the Rutsy Award at one stage. And, having watched, the reason he won it was, pineapple would have been a good word to use. But, yeah. But there's been also a bit happening, I suppose, from an industry point of view, Simon, with the announcement of the new federal cabinet, as I'm sure we're all aware, and I'm sure we all voted that there was a election over the past month in Australia.
Is there ever an opportunity to meet any of these people, though?
To meet the cabinet,
or to meet ministers?
Oh well, I think that's where the importance of the FAAA stands up. So. I've done a little bit of checking because the new Minister for Financial Services is Dr. Daniel Molino, who's just been appointed, who's the Assistant Treasurer. Just some background on him, because it's always interesting to know, what these people have done. Early in his career, he was a graduate lawyer at the Attorney General's Department and the Department of Finance. But he actually holds a Master's of Economics from the University of Sydney. And he's got a PhD in economics, hence why he's known as Dr. Daniel, from Yale University. So he's taught economics at uni level and worked as an economic advisor and consultant across both public and private sectors. So it's good to have someone that's at least been in the real world in some ways. But it's interesting that he's written a couple of books. So in 2005, he wrote a book and it must have been interesting for the marketing people to actually work out how they can put this on the front cover. But it was called The Macroeconomics of Aging, The Impact of an Aging Society on Capital Deepening and International Factor Flows.
Whoa.
Now, I'm sure that would have flown off the bookshelves as you're walking through the through the Sydney airport. That would jump out at you as one to say, I might just grab this to read on the plane.
Is there a movie about it?
I didn't go in to see that, done. He backed it up and in 22 wrote a paper back called Safety Net, The Future of Welfare in Australia. So you would hope that based on his background that he understands at least the markets and what goes on within the financial services world. So let's hope that the FAAA and Sarah Abood and Phil Anderson and the crew that are leading that charge can actually have some impact and get a little bit more common sense coming through. So
get him to Congress. That's what we need to do.
Get him to the Future Who Foundation Melbourne Cup event.
Yeah, that's what we need to do.
Not sure. we might have to get him out before he gets to the Pirate Life Bar. But it would be great to have him at Congress. I know that I was only talking about it on the weekend. I went along and watched, it would have been sort of maybe late 90s, early 2000s. John Howard spoke as the opening address and got up and just nailed everything that went through. And from what I could see, didn't have a note, didn't have a palm cards, just got up and spoke for 45 minutes about all the issues we're facing. And I spoke to Steve Helmich, who was the FAAA or the FPA, as it was then, chapter chair, and said, how did it work? So he came in 45 minutes beforehand and asked what were the issues facing the industry. And he said, okay, yes, I'm aware of that, I'm aware of that, I'm aware of that. And then walked out on the stage and just spoke brilliantly. So hopefully we'll be able to get someone along to Congress to talk through, and maybe Dr. Daniel Molino might be the man to come through and forward it on. But Yeah, so that's certainly shaping up, and that was one thing that we've got coming up is the FAAA National Congress in November. So that would be brilliant for us to put on a good show from a WA point of view. And there are a great opportunity to come through for the Melbourne Cup beforehand. So we've penciled in Optus Stadium again for the Melbourne Cup function, and we've got the committee together. So we're starting to build. We've brought a couple of new people onto the committee in James Ford, the doyen of the industry. James been involved with the AFA,
wasn't it?
The AFA for many years and still in as those combined committees have come through. So James has put his hand up to help out and still got, of course, Chris Shannon.
Shaggers,
Shannon, Liz Farrell, Gail Hendricks, who's running her own consultancy now, is part of that. Georgina Calder from Macquarie, Mikey Carroll, who's been with us for a lot of years, and of course Maddie from the Sydney office, who works for Future 2, is part of that as well. So we'd love a couple more people to help us, and especially those that are prepared to put their hand up on the day and give us a hand, because it gets a pretty busy for those, more so in the back room. So Chris and I get the easy stuff up front doing the stage work, but it's Liz and the crew behind that need some support. So if you're interested in getting involved in the committee and putting that together, then get in contact.
It's interesting, like from a Sydney perspective, there's a lot of industry folks that they know it's on the calendar, but those that no longer look after WA, Chris from who used to be at Schroeder's, he doesn't get a bat, but he still wants to come over. So
yeah.
It's very much on the calendar for a lot of people.
And it goes a bit quiet because we've got the winter months coming in and it goes a bit quiet with events, etc. I'm thinking about putting an event together in July. I want people's input. Feel free to give me a ring about it. And it's more of an informative session. I want to bring a session together with either practice managers or practice principals, etc., to look at how practices are using AI. AI is just insane at the moment. You've got some practices that are using it and it's actually in the meeting and it's creating all the file notes for them.
Yeah.
You've got some basically businesses using it to do the actual appointments and schedule and the scheduling within an organization. And I think AI is just absolutely brilliant. There's certain things you can do with it. There's certain things you can't from a legal perspective as well. But if you're utilizing AI in your practice and it's working really well and you're prepared to share any of that information and those stories with the wider community, if you could let me know. It's not a big session. It's not getting a product provider from AI to stand up in front of everybody and pitch their wares. It's really a big community meeting to hear from the people that have used
it, implemented
it, the costs of it, but also what they're getting from it as well. So people can just learn because AI's very, very good, but it's a minefield of providers and where to go and everything else. I think it'd just be, I'm looking to do it. Let's get the tax year out of the way because it's a busy month, June.
School holidays. Sort
of, and school holidays and all of that stuff. But middle to end of July, I know the Mel at Perpetual, she's amazing. She always offers me that boardroom there. We can find the facility. I'll buy the cakes and sandwiches and we'll make it into an afternoon where we might all learn something.
Well, I know with the file note systems, there's a number of those that are available. And at the FAAA 2024, they had a session on with a guy that spoke all about that. And he was sort of focused on the co-pilot aspect, which is the Microsoft area. But 12 months ago, went across to Melbourne for the Capstone Practice Management Day. And we had run a project through a large financial planning practice and they were using filenote.ai as the starting point, which is onshore. So there's less of a cyber challenge of sending information across the sea. and it is focused for financial advisors. So, you know, as a licensee, we did the initial projects. Amazing outcome. Mm. Effectively sitting there, and I know that Pam Nichols at Prestige Wealth Partners is using it here. She records it on her phone, I think uses Teams as the base, gets approval from the clients to record the meeting via her phone, and then the file note is produced at the end, which produces a transcript, produces the file note, and then also you've got the recorded copy as well. Fantastic. So, you know, we've approved FileNote.ai and also another system called Claris, but there are others, but we're finding those are the two that are working very well. And it's the feedback from the advisors is it's saving them up to 45 minutes per meeting with having these file notes produced, that they do a small amount of editing and they're ready to go. So
I think let's get this going. I'm going to make it my personal mission. We will have this AI forum where we can get everybody that's using it to tell us about the success and the stories and the costs involved and the efficiencies it's driving into their business. And then for anybody that's not using it, that's thinking of using it, to be able to put their hands up, ask questions and get more information on it.
Well, I know, because it's very topical with advisors, but, you know, FileNote.ai, as I imagine they all do, have got an opportunity on their website to look at a demo and actually then line up a meeting and they'll do a demo for you. But it's the same as anything. You need to spend the time with AI, utilizing it, and then, you know, working through it and perfecting what you need to do.
And am I allowed to do it? And is it secure?
Yeah,
and is it going to give away any of my clients' information?
Oh, yeah.
And it's all of this stuff that is scary, because it's like, it's an amazing tool, but does all of my stuff end up in the cloud and everybody's got it?
AI, there's parts of it that is also exceptionally scary. I just this morning had a webinar by the BT head of fraud and group security, I think the lady was her title, but she spoke about this particular situation where this invite had come through from the company. This employee had logged on to the Teams meetings. He saw photos of all the other people that were in the meeting. There was all photos there, and went through and they ended up transacting, and the whole thing, B was the only actual live person from his business on it, was all done through deep fake and AI, and it was a whole big setup and scam. So quite scary.
Well, the picture of you circulating dressed as the Pope is also another one, but you know,
it's a worry. In the UK, I've got a friend that got sent through a new bank card. And the bank card was a fake bank card. And when he activated his bank card, that's when they stole. Yeah. And it's they're getting clever. So we've got to get clever.
It's difficult for you know, my mum regularly sends me things and you know, says, oh, is this, can, you know, should I respond to this or what am I doing? So it's good that she's in a frame of mind to keep asking, but at 89 years of age, you know, it's scary when all these, you know, things are coming through, text messages and emails.
Well, the days of someone stealing your mail out of your letterbox are long gone, I think.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
I had a Nigerian prince contacting me the other week, and he had basically a lot of money that he needed to invest and just store somewhere. And he was asking me for my bank account details, and I was like, tempted.
Yeah, and it's sad when you look at some of the scams coming through, especially with, you know, focusing on vulnerable people and some of these, you know, romance sites and relationship sites and those sort of things. And there was, of course, the well-known situation with Donna Wilson, I think her name is, who's in a Japanese jail That was a little bit naive, but, you know, a whole situation that was set up in front of her, and sadly she was.
I must admit, like going through the dating side of things myself in Sydney, there were a few times where I sort of went, "Yeah, there's no chance I could ever attract anyone like you."
Yeah,
and they were whilst they were keen, you sort of read between the lines and you sort of understand that, you've got Buckley's chance.
It's just so critical to have your cyber insurance in place and your cyber protocols be very mindful. So there's, you know, as
review it as well, because there's a lot that changes,
yep.
And very rapid, or quickly and rapidly. And
yeah.
Yeah, mistakes get made, but also it's how do you ensure yep. that you're not putting or compromising yourself, but importantly, anyone else.
Yeah.
So did you Photoshop your Tinder photo, your profile?
No, I wasn't on Tinder, but no. Yeah, I didn't have any fish and I had a shirt on the whole time.
So, that's good.
Yeah.
I love it when you find LinkedIn profiles and they've got sort of pictures of themselves 30 years ago.
Yes.
That's well, advertising.
That's a bit of a trend that takes yeah. place.
LinkedIn photos and some website photos and those sort of things. Yes, I had a mate who was at Perpetual in Queensland, and I'll call you out, Tony Hart. Your photo must have been, you know, it was when colour first came into it. It was on that site so long, but he held on to it until he finished up. So, so well done. So, the other news that came through was confirmation. We've spoken about this, one of the big events of the year, which is the Barefoot Bowls or the FAAA Christmas Party, it's sort of been known as, which has been, again, back at the Scarborough Sports and Community Club. So that's on Friday, December 5th. And Emma Oliver and the Oliver family, the Oliver clan, is running that show again. So that's all been confirmed for the – because the venue was up in the air, I think, last time we had this podcast. So we're back down at Scarborough, where Stodge lived in Scarborough at one stage. It's a beautiful part of the world.
It is. The dog park's amazing too.
Yes.
So And the dogs are yeah. I do miss that area. It was a good space. So, I'm quite interested. You've spoken about a lot of the changes and things like that. What's it like working 3 days a week? Because a lot of mums that I speak to, like Patricia Perez, she works yep. 3 days a week too. And there's people that are talking about retiring. Like I think. Yeah, there's rumours running around that someone at Hub is looking to retire.
Yeah, I think that's more than a rumour. That guy flew back from Adelaide the other week with the COO Craig Lawrenson and CEO Andrew Alcock from Hub 24, and I think Greg Puppy Newman is winding himself back a little bit. So when you look at we were all at that stage. Well, not unfortunately, we're all at that stage, like in our lives, where starting one back. But, yeah, I'm loving 3 days a week. I must admit they're three pretty solid days, and you do get the odd call from, if a Capstone advisor rings me on a Friday or a Monday, I'll generally answer. So, it's working well, and for me it gives me the freedom on Fridays and Mondays to take young Ralph the Jaxu for a walk down the park, and I go to the gym and I do my spin class. I might even venture up to Mindari and do one of Simon Burke's famous spin classes just to see how he goes on the front. So,
and then we got the lovely legend of Tony Mundy retiring
yes,
as well.
Exactly,
so
yeah.
he's retiring, I think it's in at the end of this month. So
he's been holding out to coincide his retirement with the Dockers premiership, but he ended up giving up. So.
Yeah, so the lovely Tony Mundy, I think I'm going with Clive. I think we're going to join forces. I'm not too sure how well we're going to go, but I think
we'll have the whole of the UK
they're hosting a big quiz night in the office.
Yes.
For Tony's basically... leaving do, congratulations, you're off to retirement. But a great fella, Tony.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And, it's a fantastic story with Tony and Claire. And, yeah, it's been great to see him finishing up on a high and where that business has been. So fantastic. So, but, yeah, I think that's about all the goss that I've got. But we did mention earlier, and Stodge raised it, Simon the Pieman. Not only is it does it rhyme? But there's actually a bit more behind that name. So, Stodge, do you want to fill us in on that, or shall we get the man himself to tell us?
I think Simon, but there's a song that goes with it too, isn't there? Simon?
No, there's not a song.
Isn't it You Fat Bastard?
Wrong game. So the Simon the Pieman becomes basically a little story where... a friend of my wife's actually worked for a model agency, and we were out and they said, oh, you could do some modelling for us. And I was like, yeah, of course I can. He said, oh, we've got a pie advert. So I became the face of Pucker Pies in the UK, which sponsored the championship in the UK, which is Division One. And who wants to be a millionaire? So if you Google Simon the Pie Man Pucker, the adverts will come up. So that was my claim to fame. So I am known as Simon the Pieman.
Excellent.
Or Pucker, as Gary Gleason would call me when I worked for AMP.
It's funny when you start digging into and the world of YouTube and what gets posted, because we won't go into full detail, but I did get sent a link to a YouTube video of a rather senior financial planner in our industry and who drives a fantastic business. I won't go into the full details about it, but Raymond Pocotic and I have had a good chat about some of his hidden talents. So maybe if you see me on the streets of Perth, then give us a call. I might even share Raymond's secret talents with you. But
could you not
quite
share
impressed.
It with us all at Melbourne Cup?
We could possibly do that. We could possibly do that.
I think it'd be a good way to open this, because I too have seen that.
Yes.
I think Google Translate should also be utilised.
Yeah, well, I didn't get into that.
Because I don't know if it's a love song.
Yeah. So, don't give too much away. But
sorry.
No, we'll get approval from Raymond. I'm sure he won't mind us sharing it once we've got there. And but yeah, fantastic to see these hidden talents of not only within the financial planning world, but across the entertainment industry. So
I think that's leaving us all to say, wrap up warm, people, here it comes. And, you know, don't bed down over the winter months. Everybody goes really quiet over the winter months. Nobody does anything, but don't bed down. Still reach out. Voices out there.
Yes, well, and of course, for those that work on a financial year, get your CPD done. There'll be a mad hit on Kaplan and Aspire and all the various CPD sessions and people uploading things before the end of 30th of June. So don't do that. But to wish everyone have a successful and safe end of financial year, and we'll probably get together post Simon's AI event, possibly.
Any last words from the big man Studge?
Actually, I do. Get your health checked. Is probably the biggest thing. Yeah. As we're getting older, and stuff happens really quickly. I've got a friend in Sydney who's turned 50. In the space of eight months, she's gone to stage 3 breast cancer. That whilst that's sort of rattled me a little bit around that side of it, but you also, you know, friends like you knew Brett Bicett or Brett Robbins, you know, brain aneurysm, things like that. So, there's too many great people. So my only suggestion is, check your boobs and check it all, get it all checked out.
Yep.
Good stuff. As
we do, if you want your financial situation to look good, see a financial planner, see the specialist, and do the same with the medical. So,
if you want that transition to retirement.
Absolutely.
Happy days. That's Simon Burke and
Tim McCallum
and
Stodge.
Stoyanovi.
Great session.
Thanks.